My apologies. Okay, Brian Cute, chair of the ATRT2. We're having a session on April 7th. What's today? Just a few days off. April 10th in Beijing at the ICANN meeting. We are meeting with some former members of the Who Is Review team.
Specifically the group formerly known as the
GFKATWRT Who Is Review team. Thank you all for joining us. We expect this to be the first of at least a couple, if not a few, interactions with you. Again, if anyone is listening online, we have decided that among the things we need to do as a review team is to interact with the former review team members for each of the former review teams, ATRT1, SSR, and Who Is, at the earliest stage begin to get their views on ICANN's implementations of the recommendations of their respective teams. We've provided a list of questions to guide the inputs, but for right now, do we have an hour? How much time do we have here?
The last bus leaves exactly an hour from now for the gala.
Okay, so in the next 40 minutes or so, I'll stop talking so you folks can start providing us some inputs. But queuing off of the questions that we have up on the screen, so you understand the orientation of these questions, feel free to react to those. Feel free to provide any other inputs you have. These questions were drafted with an orientation of gaining from ICANN staff members their perspectives about the recommendations they receive. So in the context of the Who Is recommendations, did the staff understand the underlying issues, for example? How did they understand the desired outcome? We will be putting these questions to ICANN staff. With these as an orientation for our discussion, I'll be quiet now and ask the Who Is Review team members to introduce themselves and provide us your inputs.
James Bladel, GoDaddy, veteran of the Who Is Review team, or whatever that unpronounceable acronym is, as well as an adjunct of, or associate or whatever you want to call it on the ATRT1 review team as well. You know, I'm coming at this a little cold, I'll be honest with you, but I'm thinking that you mentioned staff in your opening remarks, Brian, and I was thinking that if the Who Is Review team were going to put the implementation of any body or structure under a microscope, it might be the board and how those recommendations were received and acted upon by the board. I'm not going to speak for any of the team or our colleagues, and our chair is somewhere probably over Russia, I think, and depending on when her flight arrives. We have our vice chair, of course, Kathy, but it seems as though, I mean, my first reaction when the expert working group was announced and formed was, that sounds very familiar. Were we not tasked with something very similar? There was a high degree of overlap, I think, for what we were being asked. And I think that there was a very spirited discussion on our resurrected mailing list that what happened here? What happened to our recommendations? Were they not satisfactory? They're not satisfied with the quality of the output? Were they not happy with the recommendations on a material or procedural point? How do you take recommendations from a review team and say, that's interesting, I'm going to go form a new review team and call it something else? And, so anyway, that's my initial reaction. I don't know if my colleagues have the same thing, but just want to kick it off.
Thank you, James. And you're right. You can apply these questions through the lens of the board because recommendations were made to the board of ICANN. Again, these were developed for data input from staff in the initial stages of our work, but please, through that lens as well. Kathy?
Yeah. Kathy Kleiman, I was vice chair, and I have notes from Emily Taylor, who's in the sky right now, who wishes she were with us, as well as Peter Nettlefold, who from the Australian GAC, who was a wonderful member of our team, and wasn't sure if he could get here. I think they're drafting their GAC advice, and it looks like he's not here. So I have some notes from both of them. In our own good way, we've organized our own material, so we'll share that and then probably circle around to these later. So one of the things I've kind of tasked myself with is telling you some good things, and then I'll pass it around. This is a fairly short list, guys, so I'll only be talking for half an hour or so. So first, we had outstanding staff. Alice and Olaf, I think as Bill said earlier, you couldn't have asked for better staff. So that's something I'd love to get into the record, is that review teams can only exist with really people who work day and night and really help and are also neutral and handle things in a very neutral and professional way. There was flexibility. We decided we wanted our first meeting in London, and we put it in London, and Denise was very flexible about that. It turned out to be a great meeting, and it was an orientation that we asked for. So working with crazy people, we appreciate that flexibility, and so we would urge that for future review teams.
She's still flexible.
That's good. we got some good information. Sometimes it was hard to get, and I know we'll be talking more about that, but it wasn't necessarily a reluctance to give it, but in some cases it wasn't available or easily available when we were asking for it. We had some really, really useful and interesting briefings, which we really appreciated from ICANN staff, and ultimately a site visit that was very useful by some members of our team who went down to L.A. So as a review team, we were very well supported on a number of levels, so if you could reflect that in your comments, we'd appreciate it.
Very happy to.
Yeah, Wilfried Weber, and I was on this WHOIS policy review team for the address supporting organization. The first thing that I would sort of put on top of the table is that one of my experiences was that the mandate and the framework for this team was not necessarily in line with what the bigger community would probably have expected, because the AOC and the sort of the thing that we were tasked to look at was just a subset of the bigger issue space or problem space. I don't know whether this also applies to the ATRT, that sort of there is a framework, there is a set of boundary conditions, there is a well-defined mandate, but the ICANN community might have some different expectations. So getting that out of the way at the very early stages, I think, is important, just to sort of to avoid building expectations that cannot be met during the process.
Why do you think there was misunderstanding at the community level about the scope of work of the WHOIS review team?
Because the boundary conditions for this team were actually the GTLDs, and the contractual environment, but there were quite a few people who would expect that sort of the investigation and the findings and the whole thing would also extend to country code TLDs, and maybe even to the numbering environment. But that's very special and very peculiar to this WHOIS policy review team.
Do you mind if I jump in on that very quickly? Because I think it ties back to one of my comments in that I think there was a misunderstanding of what we were doing versus what we understood to be doing, and that we were examining existing WHOIS policy and ICANN's implementation and enforcement of that policy. And I think there was this maybe broader misconception. I'm just speculating here that we were going to take a top-down comprehensive review of all of the WHOIS controversies and then weigh in on those individually or collectively or whatever. And I think that perhaps that misconception, that gap between those two sets of expectations might have been what drove the way the outcome was received that I was mentioning before. So That's an excellent point that Wolf had raised.
Just to stay on that point, did the review team itself communicate or undertake to try to clarify that point for the community? Was there a perception while you were doing the work that you're aware of?
No, we definitely tried to be very, very open about these boundary conditions. But there is always the situation that you send a message, but how the message is received is a different story. So, yeah, we tried, but I think we were reasonably successful over time. But at the beginning, I think there was not really a consensus amongst the broader community. I don't know whether you want to jump in immediately, because I would have another brief comment. Yeah. And the other thing, and that's more related to the procedure or the process, we had during our activity, we had interactions with the ESSEC, I think more than once. Mm-hmm. And I was very surprised, let's put it that way, that the ESSEC submitted a separate document, a separate paper, a separate set of advice to the board in parallel to the result of this review team. And my feeling is, and this feeling is even stronger with a little bit of time shift and delay, that this actually should not have happened, because it sort of puts the board, let's put it that way, puts the board in the interesting position to decide whether the set of recommendations from source A should be preferred over the set of recommendations from source B. I honestly and explicitly try to use neutral wording here.
Did you endeavor to understand the initiation of the work by ESSEC, the process of the work at ESSEC? Was there an examination of where that came from? And could you use your microphone?
So it was pretty obvious during the work of the team when we interacted with the board, that was definitely members on the board that were, you know, would say, well, you know, there's no foregone conclusion that we will implement your recommendations. And there it was a word of caution at all times. And then my recollection of the ESSEC report, which was a good report, and they're right, but it just didn't really relate to what we were, the narrow scope we were given, was that the board had asked for, or someone on the board had asked for ESSEC to do the report. And the title of the report was pretty telling. So.
And what was your view of the effect of the report on your recommendations, the interplay between the two?
Bill Smith, PayPal, and member of the first review team, who is... So my initial reaction on reading the title of the ESSEC report and then looking at the language in the resolutions that the board adopted subsequent to our submission of our report and the ESSEC report is that the board, it could be viewed that the board rejected our report and instead chose to go with the one from ESSEC. The resolutions, the board resolutions for, I believe, both for the ATRT1 and SSR include the word accepts. The resolutions related to who is do not contain that word. And so they're quite different from in the case where you have a board that is using very formal language for its resolutions, as ICANN does. And I'm not making a judgment statement about whether that's a good thing or not, but you have formal language and you have two sets that use the word accept, and ours did not. And the board clearly has, you know, has gone in a slightly different direction. So those two things together, for me, seem to indicate it was confusing to me and remains confusing today. We asked these questions of the board, or at least of Steve and Bruce, and had good conversations. Fadi was on the call, I believe. The conversation was good. From my perspective, I couldn't tell whether whether they really understood what my issue was, at least. I think they did, but
And
the resolutions have not been changed.
What was your issue?
My issue is that they did not. The board actually did not accept our report.
Do we? Could we put the resolution in question up on the wall just to walk through it? I think it'd be helpful to get a read of what the words were and get some reactions to help better inform the discussion. Yeah. Alan.
Thank you, Brian. I was going to suggest that because my recollection at the time of the resolution is exactly what we're hearing here. I have since been told by a number of board members that they started the expert working group and all that and recommended a PDP to follow it and in parallel said implement all of the recommendations. I don't remember hearing that at the time. So I'm really curious to see what the resolution says.
Okay. This is Bill Smith. I have it. The WHO is review, right? Resolve 2012-11-08-02. The board directs the CEO to continue to fully enforce existing consensus policy and contractual conditions relating to the collection, access, and accuracy of GLTD registration data, referred to as GTLD WHO is data, and increase efforts to communicate, conduct outreach on, and ensure compliance with existing policy and conditions related to WHO is, as detailed in the 1 November 2012 summary of the board action entitled WHO is Policy Review Team Report Recommendation. Resolved, this is the third resolution, pursuant to Article 3, the board directs the contents of this resolution and rationale shall not be made publicly available until 19 November 2012. And then it goes into a rationale for the perhaps it was. And then above that is the board directs the CEO to launch a new effort to redefine. If we contrast this to the resolution for the SSR, the board accepts the final report of the security, stability, and resilience of the DNS review team and instructs the president and CEO to proceed with implementation of the 28 recommendations, period. I would submit they are very different resolutions.
So we've got it up on the screen now, and I'm just sorry to make you take pains here. Thank you for reading that, but since we're just being able to focus, can you walk us through the elements of these resolutions where you suggest that the recommendations of the WHO is a review team were not accepted? Can you walk me through that?
Bill Smith, so this is the WHO is the agenda item, WHO is Policy Review Team Report. The first resolution, the board directs the CEO to launch a new effort to redefine the purpose of collecting, maintaining, and providing access to GTLD registration data. The second resolution, so we assume that would be the most important. The second talks about telling the CEO to go do things and that there is a staff paper related to our report. And then the third action is to delay publication of this. So if you take them in, you know, sort of in sequence, the first one is, well, the most important thing is to go do something different. The second thing is, yeah, the staff wrote a paper about this report. The CEO should go do stuff according to that. And then the third thing is, well, we better wait before we tell people about this.
And wait why, in your view?
Not sure we were told. I don't recall why we were told, or if we were told why the delay occurred.
I actually just wanted to see if there was a rationale for resolution 2012-11, farther down.
Yeah, so there's a rationale and a board paper and then a table, actually, that goes through each recommendation and lists all of the current and expected activities that the board that are occurring or the board expects to occur relating to each recommendation. So it was quite detailed. There's a number of facts I think to keep in mind here. One, that the affirmation of commitment itself requires ICANN's board to post all
reviews for public and community comment. That means that the board actually asks the public and the community to comment on all reports, including who is an ATRT. So ESAC was actually asked to if they had any comments on the review report, as they are asked if they have any comments on every review report, because that's what the affirmation commits the board to do. And then, of course, it's incumbent on the board to take into consideration any comments it gets from any constituencies. Another important difference, of course, is that while all of the constituencies, stakeholder groups, and advisory committees supported adoption of ATRT 1, your constituency, Brian, or stakeholder group, and your stakeholder group, if I recall correctly, James, did not support adoption of the, and your stakeholder group did not support adoption of the Who Is Review Team report. There was a diversity of reviews relating to the recommendations and the Who Is Review Team report. The board certainly wasn't faced with unanimous support for the recommendations. And in addition, some of the recommendations, for example, ICANN being responsible for a 50% reduction in accurate data was not, ICANN compliance staff was very clear that it did not have the tools to unilaterally achieve that objective. And so what the board attempted to do was to, where possible, direct staff to implement the specific recommendation, and where they felt there was a number of ways to support the objective of the recommendation, if not the recommendation itself, provide quite detailed guidance in what it expected staff to do to work towards the objective of the recommendation. So it absolutely is a much more complex directive and action on the board. From the board on the Who Is Review Team recommendation, but that's a little more background into. And there have been a few conversations with the former Who Is Review Team members on the board's thinking and the staff direction on this.
Thank you, Denise. Helpful. Can I ask just a couple of questions? So, getting back to the basic question, did the board adopt or accept the recommendations of the Who Is Review Team? As reflected in the resolutions, the wording of the resolutions.
Yeah. So the resolutions, I think, speak for themselves, and the board provided very specific guidance on the action it was expecting on each recommendation of the Who Is Review Team report.
Can we see that language where it ties to the recommendations of the Who Is Review Team? James?
Well, I have a question and a comment. I think first is that I think it's more... appropriate to say that our stakeholder groups did not accept or sign on to all of the recommendations of the report. I think that some were less controversial than others, so I just wanted to hit that up. And secondly, just as a question, where was the genesis of the first, and I guess I'm kind of going with Bill's theory here, that if something is first, it's priority one. Where did this... Help me understand how that was born from the recommendations of the Who Is Review Team's report. I guess I'm at a disconnect here. Where did that one come from? I don't think it was contained in our report. The first part of the resolution, the first resolved, to launch a new effort. The first thing is, new effort. I don't see any connection to our report at all.
Well, you should read it again because your report actually, although it's not an explicit recommendation, actually at the beginning of your report, the report actually talks about how the Who Is system was created years ago for very different purposes, and that it has outgrown its usefulness. And although it wasn't the mandate of the Who Is Review Team, clearly a new paradigm. Completely paraphrasing here. Clearly a new paradigm is needed. That language is in the report. Yeah,
But it wasn't a recommendation. Please go out and form a group to
right.
do this. It was
right.
not part of a recommendation.
Yeah. And so the board, clearly, I think, was conveying that it's taking a two-track approach here. One, teeing off of both that discussion in the report, as well as the ESSAC recommendation and the view of many board members that a new effort was needed, in addition to fully enforcing the existing who is paradigm and looking at a whole variety of ways of implementing the who is review team recommendations.
Just allow me to ask a couple of follow-up questions, too. So, Denise, you mentioned that there were a few stakeholder groups that didn't support, and James modified maybe one, not support fully all the recommendations. And is that the basis for why the resolutions are constructed as they are? Is that reflected in the resolutions that because of mixed community support, the board took an approach in the resolutions that was mixed as well with respect to accepting recommendations?
Yeah. I would point you to the board rationale for the intention behind the board resolution. And this, of course, is on the website. But the supporting documents. Of course, the board always looks at the public comments received and the input received from all the constituencies, stakeholder groups, and advisory committees, and takes that into consideration as well. And that's noted in the board material.
So, where's the key language? Because what's striking, and there may be a way to understand this clearly, and I admit I haven't read this myself in its entirety nor any background documents, but you have members of a review team saying the board didn't accept our recommendations, and you're clearly providing background and pointing to rationale, but there's a disconnect here that I'm trying to reconcile because I'm not as familiar with this terrain myself. How do we reconcile that?
Yeah, so I would recommend that you read the material that's available, both the resolution, the board rationale, the board paper, and the supporting documents, and then I would suggest you talk to the board.
Thank you. Please.
Bill Smith. I think that's a good course of action. We attempted to do that, and I don't believe we got satisfactory answers.
For formal reasons, I think everyone, and this includes us, this team that no longer exists, we have to be aware that the result of a review team is just a set of recommendations. And the board certainly has the freedom and probably also the responsibility to assess those recommendations and maybe decide against. I think this is obvious in the framework. And everyone should have that in the back of their heads. But still, there is sort of a little bit of an uneasy feeling how the whole structure was managed, and in particular this parallelism of the two documents being sort of submitted to the board more or less at the same time.
Thank you. James?
So just briefly, because I don't want to beat up on this one. I mean, you know, I think we know better than anyone what a complicated mess who is as an issue, and it certainly didn't envy the board, you know, some of the things, or even staff, some of the things that we were putting, on their plates with this report. It was a lot of work. It was a lot of, knots that need to be untangled. But that said, I think the three things, if I could just enumerate, three things that were concerning to me about how this whole episode went down, it's well in the rearview mirror now, and I think we're all happier for it, but one, the secondary track that was not part of our recommendations was given, you know, priority in the resolution. Two, the resolution does not refer to our report at all. First of all, the primary track could have been a separate resolution. Our report's not referred to in the resolution at all. A staff summary is referred to. And it doesn't say anything about recommendations. It says compliance with the staff summary as opposed to adopting the resolution. And then finally, you know, let's keep in mind, and I think that this is easier now when we have the two bits of language side by side. Where does it say it?
This policy review team report was submitted to the board and was subject of extensive public comment and community discussion, whereas the review team's work has encouraged the board and community to re-examine the fundamental purpose.
I'm sorry, I meant the resolved clause. Yeah. I was what I was reading, but so, but setting that aside, the other thing to bear in mind is that while we have them side by side now, there was a time period gap between the board and the language of the resolution and the rationale. So, and that so, you know, we were left for a few weeks to. What the heck just happened here? You know, 1 week. And then there was a call. So, you know, look, I don't want this to turn into a you know, situation where we're pleading our case to the next group. You know, that we were, you know, we were disrespected. I don't think that is. I think that it is important, however, to point out that, as Wilford said, these are recommendations. The board is free to do what they will, but. You know, having served on another AOC review team and seeing how the recommendations of other AOC teams, I was in Boston. I held the pen and I served, and I think others will say that. Should I have? Was it appropriate? That's a topic for a beer someday. But but the bottom line is that this was treated differently than the other AOC review teams, and I'll just leave it at that. Thanks.
What's you got, Bill?
Yeah, Bill Smith. I'd like to sort of second what James is saying. I don't want this to become an issue. This is it's an issue that happened a while ago. We're actually seeing, I think, some positive things as a result of what the actions the board took. What I'm trying to convey is, and as James put it very succinctly, this report was treated differently. Okay, and. I think that should be noted in some manner, and a suggestion, at least from me, is please treat all the reports from these volunteers who are putting in. Sorry, Denise. Read the results. It's treated differently from somebody who spent, you know, 18 months of my life on this. All right. And I think the future teams deserve similar, if not identical, treatment, okay, in how the board acts on this. It sends a message. That's what we're trying to convey, okay? I think good things are happening. I'm seeing good stuff happen as a result of this action. But there was a period where we didn't know what was going on, why, and I think we still have some questions. So.
David, and I'll make a point, and we'll wrap up.
So, from your perspective, you indicated that you didn't feel that the review teams were treated the same. Sorry, I'm David Conrad. I'm the representative from ESSAC. I guess I'm curious as to your view of whether or not the other review teams that were operating at that time had reached. A different level of acceptance within the community, not, you know, ignoring for the time being the board, but just whether you saw within the Who Is Review team the acceptance of your report in the community different, being accepted differently than the other review teams' reports.
Ms. Bill Smith, no, I actually saw it as. And a statement to this review team that the board did not accept our report, regardless of whether it was accepted in the rest of the community or not, because the other resolutions said the board accepts the report. Okay? Our report is in limbo, in my opinion.
Aubrey, and then we'll close.
Yeah, this is
sure. Aubrey, then Kathy.
Aubrey Doria, I think it's the first time I've spoken to Aubrey Doria from GNSL, member of ATRT, too. Okay, I guess I have two questions, and I think one of them you just started to indicate. So you still believe that the report has not gotten its proper due, and I wasn't sure of that from previous things. But the other question I had, this feeling of having your efforts and the group respected. Is this the board's resolution there the only instance of that, or
was this sort of a compounding of other feelings you had had before in your relation to the board, the topic, and or is it really just the reception of the report that has sort of soured the experience, as it were, of what it sounds like?
For me, it's just this. I'm sorry, this is James jumping in to answer. That for me, it was just this. I don't think there was anything, you know, throughout the experience. It was tough work. We didn't always agree with each other, but you know, I think we worked on that. I would say that my characterization of the feeling of this is also based on private conversations, and I know that we can't introduce those into public sessions, but you know, characterized of, you know, the reception as well. So I think that. Yeah, I think that kind of came at that moment that the board released the resolution, not any time before.
Bill Smith, I'll remind us of a statement Susan made, and that is that throughout the process, any time we interacted with the board, we were getting pretty clear messages that the board might not accept all of our recommendations.
And if I can follow up to Savory again. And so that was before they knew what your recommendations were. You just felt that they came into it with an a priori.
This is Susan. There was definitely a cautioning. And having not been on a different review team previously, I wouldn't have known whether they did it, but it seemed pretty pointed because I can remember thinking, oh, gosh, we've got a big hurdle. And then that came out to be true. So.
David?
I'm curious. Are there any documents, any transcripts, anything where sort of the feeling that sort of described or explained the feelings that you saw with the board in that context?
I thought that we definitely had a session with the board. I couldn't tell you what country, but I'm pretty sure.
Yes, we did.
And
yeah, different country, different day.
Yeah, exactly. Just, you know, same people. But I would assume those were transcribed. So.
Okay. Kathy?
We just to follow up on that, which wasn't the point that I was going to make, we also got some personal comments from Steve Crocker, and that kind of set the stage for, and that's something you can look up, they're part of the public record. On a slightly different note, I was, by way of disclaimer, I was the registry stakeholder group representative on this, and that's where I was appointed onto the Who Is Review team. So I found it very interesting when I went back, but I'm also co-founder, as everyone knows, of the non-commercial users constituency, which flatly rejected much of, if not everything, of what we did, most of it, which I found to be a very interesting reaction when I went back to them and tried to share, you know, as part of the communication part when you try to share recommendations. Mm-hmm. So there was a very interesting community response to our report, certainly from a group that I hail from in the past. And present. One of the ways I've explained a little bit about what happened, and maybe our recommendation one was taken a little out of context. Our recommendation one was that we wanted ICANN to make Who Is a strategic priority. It had always been kind of at the lower levels and not really treated by the board at the upper levels. And I'll just read it. It's recommended that Who Is in all its aspects should be a strategic priority for ICANN, the organization. And boy, did we get that one. And so it wasn't necessarily with the bullet points that we put into our recommendation, but we certainly got, you know, the resolution makes it a strategic priority, and the CEO got involved personally. So as I said in the LA intersessional, be careful what you wish for.
Thank you. We're just about at time for folks who are going off for the evening. Thank you all. We will provide a follow-on opportunity to have interaction with the Who Is Review team. Thank you for the early interventions or contributions, and please wait to hear from us. We'll come back to you and have a good evening. Thank you.
Thanks.